When I think of summer, eating outside on patios, I like to go out and eat outside. Also, music is very seasonal for me for some reason. Like, I hear songs and they click with the season. Some I'm like, that's like a winter song or one I'm going to listen to near Christmas, even if it's not a Christmas song. There's some that when I hear, I'm like, man, I remember summer, windows down, being a stupid 17-year-old cruising around the mean streets of Watertown with my friends, blaring whatever it was. And there's like 8 streets to drive around in Watertown. But it was music, and it became like this soundtrack to my summer. And that's kind of what we're going to do for this summer here with our sermon series. We're going to create, in essence, our soundtrack of summer here using the Psalms. So we're going to do a series this summer called Psalms of Summer, a playoff of Songs of Summer. There's not any necessarily rhyme or reason to what Psalms we're going through. We're just going to pick a different one each week and talk about it. There are a lot of them, so we will not touch all of them. But a different one each week and kind of just talk about what does it mean, what can we do with it. The Psalms have a ton of different things about them. Some are written directly to God. Some are kind of written for other people to hear. Some people write them to themselves. They can be written about forgiveness, about praise. There are a ton of Psalms that are laments, people that are going through a ton of stuff in their lives and are basically crying out in despair to God. All of these things happen in the Psalms. And today, the psalm we're going to look at is a psalm attributed to David. So David being the writer, it's Psalm 103. And there's a little bit of discussion amongst some of the commentators and all these kind of people about who he was writing it to. Was he writing it to other people, which I think is kind of the majority view. Where I come from is with some others that think it's writing kind of second person saying you're, but it's a reminder to David. David's in essence writing this to go back and read himself to say, I need to remember these things. And that's what I like with this, because it's a reminder of God's love for us. That's what this psalm is today to me. That's how we're going to take it. So our main theme today will be this: remember and respond to God's love. So we're going to remember and respond to God's love. And I want us to think about it kind of like this, being Father's Day. Let's think about it in the fact that God loves us as a father should. God, we've talked about this a little bit before with God being our father, that he is the ultimate example of a father. He is the one that any of us fathers should take our example from, how to love, how to be gracious and compassionate. And this psalm actually mentions God as the father figure. So I'm going to read 2 verses of it, kind of from the middle, just really quick to kick us off with this psalm that kind of sets it up like this. It's Psalm 103, 13 through 14. And it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. God's the example of the father here with these verses. He shows compassion. He shows grace and kindness and love for us. And it says to those that fear him. But this isn't fear of like, I'm afraid of God. That's not the fear we're talking about. It's fear in the sense of people that know God's way is better than their own, that put God first above anything else. And these verses remind us that God knows us as children. He knows how we were formed. He created us. He knows us as a father should know his children. And he loves us like that. And throughout this psalm, we're going to see 3 truths about God's love that we need to remember. Those 3 truths are going to be that God's love is personal, God's love knows no bounds, and God's love is forever. Right? And those are all 3 things that we need to constantly remind ourselves of when it comes to God's love. So we're going to look at the psalm, we're going to end up reading all of it, and break it down in those 3 sections. So again, words and the verses will be up there, or if you want to follow along with the Bibles on your table, that is great. We will be in Psalm 103, the NIV translation. So to kick it off here, let's do 103, verses 1 through 5. It says this, "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." We will stop there. It starts with this, forgives your sins. And David, again, could be reminding himself, forgives my sins. This would be a big deal for David, because in 2 Samuel 11, David had a huge sin. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. The story goes, if you are unfamiliar, he's in his palace and he looks out and he sees Bathsheba and thinks she's beautiful and sends for her. and commits adultery with her. And then they end up, she becomes pregnant. Well, Bathsheba is married to a guy named Uriah. Uriah is in the military that David commands. Eventually, David has Uriah put on the front line of the military and everybody else to back off, and Uriah is killed. David sins in a big way. This was bad, but he's saying, God forgave me. God's forgiveness was personal to David because his love is personal, which is the first thing we're talking about. God's love is personal. And that's one of the ways he loves us, is through forgiveness. Then it says he heals disease. He's probably talking about actual sickness here, because in David's day and in the ancient times, any little illness or issue could be fatal. They didn't have, obviously, the modern medicines or knowledge about the body or anything that we have now. So something small could be fatal or really catastrophic, but God healed, and he heals today. He works in healing today, whether it's, we believe it's through medicine or doctors or any way else, God is still behind healing. Now, I know he doesn't always heal, and we don't know why, but he is behind the healing, and he always forgives. And then it says he redeems life from the pit meaning death. God brings us back from death. He does this with healing, from physical death when he heals us from ailments. He does this with forgiveness, because if we're not forgiven of our sins, our eternity isn't with God, it's in hell. But he forgives and brings us back from that pit. And here's the thing, when he does this, it's not like he's like, all right, you're forgiven or you're healed, and that's fine, you can just be down there and away from me. It says he crowns us with love and compassion. He crowns us. We're not just brought back, but brought into his royal family. It's a personal thing that he does for each one of us. And then, probably one of my favorite parts of this section, he satisfies our desires with good things. We've talked about desire before here. Our natural human desires sometimes are not always very good. They can take us away from God. They can be dangerous. And when we try to satisfy desires on our own, sometimes, again, it moves us even farther from God. But what God does is satisfies our desires with good things. He doesn't just take them away, but he satisfies those desires with good things. Our personal desires that if I try to satisfy myself might move me away from God. He pulls me back, satisfies that desire with something good, something honorable and pleasing to him. And then we're renewed like eagles. I think the imagery here is that eagles are these big, strong birds. They're free. They have vigor. They have strength. They have confidence. I asked Jeremiah what his favorite things about eagles were. Be honest, he didn't give me the great answer, but he's like, I love that they're big and strong with these sharp talons. And then he had to describe how it picks up animals. I'll let you ask him about that some other time if you want. But he's like, they're big and they're strong, Dad, and they can just go do whatever they need to do. That's what God renews us like. He gives us this strength. He gives us confidence and vigor and whatever we need. He gives it to each one of us. He forgives, he redeems or restores, and he satisfies. And the cool thing is, it's not just this like blanket thing over all Christians. It's very personal to each one of us. I was thinking about it like this. How many of you, if you're into music at all, like a band, but don't know the names of the individual members? Anybody? A couple of you? Okay. Well, maybe everybody does. That's fine. I don't, so we're going to use mine. I grew up a huge fan of the band Hootie and the Blowfish. I'm a 90s kid. Awesome. I'm going to date myself with that one, but that's okay. Most people only know one guy in that band, the frontman, Darius Rucker. And they only know the rest of the band. They don't know the individuals of it, but you love it. Hootie was one of my first CDs, Cracked Rearview. I still listen to it, but I knew the band, not the individual members. So I loved the band only, not the individuals. Here's the cool thing. God loves us each individually. He doesn't just like us as a band or a team. Think about a team you follow, all right? You're a huge fan of the Packers, if you're like me. I don't like everybody individual on that team, but I love the team. God loves us all individually, not just the Christian team or team God, yay, go, let's all wear the same uniform. He loves us all individually. God sees you. Yes, we're all part of this awesome Christian family that's worldwide and all over the place, but he sees each of us individually. He forgives your sin. It's not just a blanket across everybody, right? It's not just if all our sins are weeds growing in the lawn, like what happens in my lawn. He doesn't just spray this massive weed killer. He's individually pulling each one, yours and yours and yours and yours. He does it individually. And it's so cool that he does that because it's very personal. And then he satisfies your desires. I know that my desires aren't always great. And the way that I would try to satisfy them isn't always good. But God will satisfy my desires and your desires with good things. And he does it so personally. And then his renewal is personal too. Maybe for you to be renewed like an eagle, you need strength. Well, God might give one of you strength. One of you confidence. One of you the vigor of an eagle. Maybe one of you just needs that youthful energy again. God brings that. And he does it because it's personal. Because God's love for us. While he loves Christians, he loves us all individually. So that's that first thing we need to remember about God's love, is that it's personal. The second part, God's love knows no bounds. Let's look at Psalm 103. This will be verses 6 through 12. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. All right. God's love knows no bounds. He starts by saying the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Works here meaning he does it. He makes righteousness and creates justice for all the oppressed. All of them. He shares this with Moses in the book of Exodus. Right? He shares it with all the oppressed. Not just some here or there, but all. There's no boundary to that with God. And then this section gets into the character of God. It says he's compassionate, he's gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. I'm glad that we have a heavenly Father that those are the characteristics of, because his default is to love us and treat us in this way. He doesn't always accuse, doesn't always harbor anger. He doesn't seek retribution for our sins or failures. I think general human nature goes the other way, right? I wrestle with that. It's hard to love someone that's hurt you. It's hard sometimes to not throw accusations at people. It can be hard to let go of anger towards someone else. And for me, honestly, it's hard to not want someone to pay for something they've done, right? Because sometimes we get into our thought thinking that's the way justice should work and they should pay for it. God's love is the opposite. It breaks out of the human nature mold because God's bigger than that. His love is bigger than that. It doesn't know a boundary. His love is as high as the heavens from the earth or east from the west. These are not measurable. If you think about it, if you're going east, you always just keep going east, whichever direction east would be here. I'm not sure which direction we're facing. But you're always going east. Or some of the ways would be, you know, the sunrise to the sunset. Distances you can't measure. It knows no bounds and would break any sort of binding or constraints we would try to put on it. For a number of years, I coached youth soccer. And the first thing I did, I got to practice early all the time, and I set up cones. And I was notorious for using a whole lot of cones. I think I had counted one time. I managed to use, for a 75-minute training, I used 75 cones one day. All different colors. And what I'm doing is setting up things for my players to do. And these are mostly 11 and 12-year-olds. You know, there were boundaries, their fields. And we would do that so that when they were in a game, they had practiced playing within a certain boundary. 20 by 20, 20 by 30, you got to play between the blue and the orange cones or something like that, right? It helped them. It kept them contained. Well, then this spring, I took on the daunting task of being an assistant coach for Jeremiah's kindergarten soccer team. Wow. Ryan just snorted. That was so funny. I caught that. I hope the mic picked that up. Yeah. Okay. So now I am a big soccer guy and an athlete and a competitor and have coached competitive kids. And then I get out there with all these kindergartners. And it was like the biggest smack in the face I've ever had of like, oh no, what am I doing? And I was only the assistant. So we would set up a boundary for these kids. Now, anybody that's worked with kindergartners knows, here's the boundaries. They don't care. They just get out there and play, and bam, they're gone. I could have put cones all over the place, and these kids are there and there, and they're just out there playing. They're just having fun. They, when they get out there to play soccer, know no boundaries. The lines, the cones, the flags didn't matter to these kids. It was eye-opening. I don't know if I could do it again because I like boundaries and the box and everything. Oh, man. But I never once came home and looked at Stacy. I'm like, why did I agree to do this? Because I love my son. That's why I did it. God's love can't be contained. God's love is like those kindergartners on the soccer field. There are no boundaries for him. He breaks out of anyone that we could come in. He's not bound by cones or lines or flags or whatever else you try to bind it with. And again, I love a good box. I love rules. I love boundaries. I like to know what the parameters are. I got assignments in college and in seminary, and I'm like, what are the rules? What do I have to do? How can I stay within that? And I don't push them. For any of you that missed that, that was my sister-in-law saying that is exactly what my son is like. It's true. He's worse than me, too. Okay, this is an aside, but we're going to do it because we're here. We needed to calm him down a while ago one night at bedtime because they were going on a trip. This was last year before you guys went to Myrtle Beach. And what calmed him down was going over a list of rules that there would be in Myrtle Beach. That calmed him down, was knowing the rules. That is my son. He's like his dad. We like the box. We like the rules. We like to know what they are. God's not like that. God's love doesn't do that. It's unmerited love that we get, and it just keeps going. And it goes and is with us no matter what we've done or where we go. I've heard some people say, well, God loved me in the past. God forgave me in the past, right? There's no way he could still love me or forgive me right now for what I've done now. But that just couldn't be more false. We're never too far gone for God. When we do that, when we think that way and that God couldn't love us anymore, we're trying to put God back within those boundaries. And he's looking at us saying, stop it. I don't need your cones or your flags, Jeff. I can go bigger than that. We're never too far gone. Yes, there is work to do in our lives and things we all need to work on and clean up and get better at, but God's love is always going to be there with us. It knows no bounds. It cannot be contained. So God's love is personal, and God's love knows no bounds. Part 3, God's love is forever. Let's finish up the Psalm. 103:15-22 says, the life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. All right, so God's love is forever. Flowers and grass, they're here and gone. They're very temporary. The wind could come, or we had these nasty storms this week that maybe blew flowers down or blew branches down off the trees. Those things are temporary. And kind of what the psalm is saying is just like those, our lives here on earth, in the grand scheme of things, are temporary. We're here for a little while, and then we go. Maybe we're remembered for a little while, maybe remembered for a long time, maybe not, but we're here, and we're gone. Again, God's love is the opposite. It doesn't come and go like the grass or the flowers or our lives. It can't be knocked out by anything. It is forever. It's everlasting to everlasting. And it says, you know, to the children and their children and their children, it keeps going. God's family doesn't end. It's passed down because it's forever. But here comes the response part. Because we have this love and it is unmerited and we get it, but he does want something. He does want us to respond. And as it says, it's to keep his covenant and obey what he says. Now, this isn't kind of like, you can have my love, but here's the catch. watch. Here's the fine print of that contract. That's not what this is, because we still have God's love. But because of the scope of God's love, how big it is, because it's personal, because it knows no bounds, because it's forever, we should want to respond and let a response flow out of us. It should be obedience to what God wants from us. It should be showing the love that God has shown us. I mean, if we think about it, how can we not respond in this way to a God that loves us like he does? All right, to a God that is still king overall, but yet is compassionate and gracious. Think about how many rulers or leaders we hear about today in the news or anywhere. Many of them, at least to me, don't sound or always sound compassionate and gracious. But God, our king, our forever king and forever ruler is, and his love is forever. We want to respond to his love. It's like when his love is poured into us, it should come back out. I have a science experiment for us today to demonstrate. Apparently, this has been the sermon of illustrations of my son, Jeremiah. This was his science kit that I borrowed this from. Now, who here has ever done the science experiment, make a volcano erupt? Pretty classic one, right? What happens? Who's going to tell me what's going to happen? Sam, you just graduated high school. I know you got this on lockdown. What's going to happen? There's a reaction and erupts. You skated by with that one, but I'm going to take it. All right. You didn't take chemistry in a while? Okay. That's last year online. Okay, well, I'll sit Jeremiah with you. He'll explain it to you. It'll be great. Here's the volcano. This is us. We have in this container, who knows what's in here? Vinegar. Very good. God's love is the vinegar. I hope God's love smells better than vinegar. But let's hope this actually works. Oh, boy. Nope. Got it. Here we go. Oh, look at that. It's erupting out like crazy. Yes. Hearing the sizzle? That's what, in essence, should happen. I know that's a little science experiment. My kid does it. Many of us have done that. But that's kind of the idea. We have this volcano of our lives. When God's love is poured into it, it should shoot out. We should have a response. We should burst with love and with obedience and in response to God. Why? Because it's forever. God's love doesn't end. We're told nothing lasts forever, right? I can hear my dad in my head saying, they don't make things like they used to. Anytime you get a car or anything I buy from the store. Yeah, why'd you get a new one? It broke. They don't make things like they used to. Facts. They don't. You're right. God's love is built to last. It's built God tough, which is better than anything else. We can't use it up. It doesn't fall apart. Thankfully, it's not like gas that we drive out of and have to refill. It's not like food that we eat out of all of our fridge or like money that is here and gone. God's love is there. So immerse yourself in it. Let it pour into you like the vinegar did on that volcano. And then respond in love. Let it erupt out like the volcano. Don't hold it in. Let it come out. Keep his commands. Obey what he teaches. And let him burst out. Because that's showing respect and appreciation for this love. That's response to his love, which is what he wants. He wants us to respond to it. And I want you to remember that it doesn't run out. So immerse yourself in it and take it on. So this week, I would like for us to actually respond and do it this week with gratitude and with thankfulness for God's love. Thank God that his love is personal, that he sees you. He knows you and he loves you personally. You as an individual. Thank God that his love knows no bounds, that you are forgiven no matter what you've done or where you go, and that we can't contain or constrain God's love. And then thank God that his love is forever, that we can't use it up, and that there will never be a shortage of it. And I want to encourage or challenge you, whatever you need, to actually say this out loud this week. Thank God for those three things. Start your days with it and say it out loud. And then respond in action like the volcano. Let it come out. Obey what God has taught and what he's commanded. And let his love come out. But most of all, remember, remember, God loves us as a father should, and it's personal, it doesn't know any bounds, and it is forever. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your love. God, I thank you that you are our Father in heaven. God, that you are a compassionate and loving and honest Father with us. And God, I thank you that your love is personal, that even as we're here, God, as a group of Christians, that you still see each of us individually. You know us individually, that you've forgiven us individually, and you love us all individually. God, I thank you that your love knows no bounds, God, that it's with us no matter where we go or what we've done or what we're going to do. God, that you love us. And that it's forever, that it doesn't run out, God. That your love stays with us. So God, I pray that we would just immerse ourselves in your love, that we would let it flow into us, God, and that we would respond in the ways that you would have us, in obeying what you've taught, and responding with love to others in the way that you give us opportunities to. We just thank you again that you do love us. In your name.